Now I want you to get yourself settled in. You've got to blow your nose or squish around, do all that, because we're going to look at a video, and I want you to listen very intently to what the man is saying. Go ahead, Nancy.
You know how we used to have WWJD bracelets? This one's going to be called WDIM, and it comes from Philippians 1:18. This is Paul's slogan. He says, "What does it matter?" Do you know how much better you would sleep at night if you had that on your wrist? Do you know how much stress would just disappear if you could get... Now you don't really get this in your 30s or maybe even in your 40s. Paul is older now. They've beat him. He's been shipwrecked. They called him a fake. They called him a fraud. He kept preaching. They threw him in prison. God busted him out. In fact, the first time he went to Philippi, when he was getting the mission started, they threw him in prison. And Paul did what you always do when you're in prison with your feet in stocks and your back beaten raw. He started singing praises to God at midnight, because Paul knew something. You can either let your chains break your praise, or you can let your praise break your chains. Why'd y'all get quiet while I was gone? Y'all used to shout at Elevation Church. And when he praised God at midnight, all of the chains of all of the prisoners came loose. Sometimes God will use your situation to set somebody else free. Can I stay on that for 45 seconds? You have been questioning what you have been going through, and it's not even about you. God is using some of you to break generational curses off of your children. There are things that you struggled with that your children will not have to struggle with like you struggled with them, because you were willing, watch this, to embrace the chains. And some wisdom God can only give you after you've lived a little while. Some wisdom God can only give you when you've got that old man, Apostle Paul swag, where he said, it doesn't even matter. Hey, Paul, did you hear they got a fake Facebook account with your name on it? And Paul said, yeah. Right now, I hate to do this, but can we interrupt the sermon? I need you to pray for me at every location. And I need you to pray for me, because I'm not that good at this. I let stuff that doesn't matter weigh me down to the point that I get so distracted. And please pray for me right now. Would you stretch your hands toward this stage and say, Father, I pray for Pastor Stephen that he would stop being so stupid to let stupid stuff sidetrack him from what really matters. Now put your hand on the person that's next to you on your right and on your left and say, God, I pray for this person that they would stop being so petty and letting little things ruin their day, contaminate their joy, poison their spirit, and distract them from their destiny, so that they can get focused on what really matters and realize that half the stuff they're worrying about, you're already working out, so they don't need to have an ulcer. They can throw up their hands right in the middle of the storm and thank you for being Lord of all. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it matter? What does it matter? That's why you got to go to your 20-year high school reunion. I just went. And all the people I was so obsessed with impressing, I didn't even remember their names. Who are you again? That's why I was preaching to the teenagers at Youth X. Because if they can get on mission with what really matters, if they can get a sense of what matters, it doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter what they think. They don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. They don't have a crown to crown you with. People can't complete you. Only Jesus can. Why would I live for the approval of people who can't complete me? Sorry, Jerry Maguire. Sorry, Renee Zellweger. Jesus can complete me. It doesn't matter. Because what matters more, now here's the key. What matters more, this is your priority. And for Paul, the priority was never popularity. So some say this and some say that. Paul's like, I'm old now. I know something. And this is what the old minister told me when I was first getting started. He said, there are certain things in your ministry you will go through that you will question. And I said, well, what would you change if you could change anything? He said, why aren't you getting your elevation pen ready to write down what the old man said? He said, there's a lot of stuff that I wouldn't choose, but there's nothing I would change. Because now I've been through enough to know that it took some of the breaking to get to some of the blessing. And it took some of the betrayals to get to the blessing. And it took some of the conflict to get to the calling. And it took some of the weakness to get to the strength. I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't choose it. I thought this was relevant because a lot of us are in situations today that we would not choose. Nobody chooses sickness. Nobody chooses a kid who is off doing the opposite of everything you raised them to do. And you find out what Paul found out. You were never really in control. The more you think you're in control, the younger your kids are. I tell you, if it was my teenager, if it was your teenager, you would be locked in a room with prescription pills. Shut up. Jet lag. I'll be nicer next week. We got a lot of guests for it. Rein it in. Paul's just like, what? Everybody say, what? You going to keep me in this prison? I got these chains. And I know it looks like I'm chained to these Roman guards. But actually, these guards are chained to me. Now, I wouldn't choose these chains, but actually, if it takes my chains to set somebody else free, if it takes my pain, if it takes going through a season of loneliness to really discover joy, I would choose the chains. I'd rather have chains on my feet and be free in my mind and free in my spirit and free in my conscience. Because Paul said to me, the important thing is, now it's very important what you put next. This is verse 18, guys in the production room. The important thing is whatever you put next will determine what your joy is chained to. Whatever you put after the important thing is, your joy will move up and down with that thing. So whatever you choose to chain your joy to, whatever priority, if for you, no matter what you would say, because we would all say that Jesus is the head of our lives, you don't get up and come out here to a place like this if you're not going to say the right answer. But I'm talking about reflected in your choices. If the important thing is that people like you, then when people like you, you will like you. If the important thing is that God loves you, then when people don't like you, you still like you. Because I'm accepted in the beloved. If the important thing is comfort, then when everything is just right and when the climate is 72.4 Fahrenheit, you will be happy about the climate or the environment. But if the important thing to you is not comfort, But calling, you can be in a miserable situation and turn it into a ministry. I'm looking for somebody today who is no longer concerned about popular opinion or personal preference, but you've come to the place in your life where you say, I want to know him. I want to make him known. I want real joy. Joy that the world didn't give and the world can't snatch it back.
Well, did that go into your spirit? Are you going to hold on to it? I hope you do. That was awesome, wasn't it? How many of us ever looked at, like Paul did, he wasn't chained to the prisoners, they were chained to him. Amen. Well, this will make us all think about the way we fuss about the things we have to go through. Because we don't know why we're going through them, but God does. And he knows your suffering is going to bring somebody else into heaven. Amen. I would play that again, but you can just play it at home on YouTube, all right? It came into my computer on Charisma. But it's like he showed you, it's on YouTube. And he's a powerful minister to begin with. Well, Father, we surely do thank you here tonight. And we just give you all honor and all glory. And you are truly the King and the Lord of all. And Father God, I know that you wanted your people to hear this man give this message because we are what he was talking about. And I thank you, Father God, that through this message that they aren't going to forget it because the blood of Jesus is covering it right now, where the enemy can't steal it. And the people are going to be changed, Father, from the inside out. And thank you for the message for tonight, Father. And I know you're here. I know you're with us. And I know you're going to do a perfect work within each and every one of us. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, you have to quit wanting to win the popularity contest. If you're truly going to be a child of God, you are not ever going to be popular. Because if you're a true child of God, you're always listening to God's voice, doing what God wants you to do and he's telling you to do. And people want you to do what they want you to do. And you can't do that. And so they're going to talk about you. That's just, you know, 30-some years of experience. That's what's going on. But that's why God says never compromise. And I see too much compromise in the body of Christ just so we can make somebody else happy. And that's not what God wants. I prayed and I said, God, what is it you want me to give these people? And he said, forgiveness as a way of life. And forgiveness is a gate to your heart. Now, your Father in heaven wants you to be freed from the wounds and disappointments of your past. It's more or less what this young man was talking about. He wants you to be free to move on and fulfill your destiny in him. How long has God been telling us, let go of your past. Move on and quit staying in that pit that you're in. A long time, too long, really. We should have already moved past that. If we can look at our hearts like a walled city, we can see that the gate to that city is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a powerful tool we can use to protect our hearts against the enemy's attack. That is why Satan is always eager to get us caught up into offenses that cause us to become bitter. All right? Forgiveness is the very pinnacle of our faith in Jesus Christ. And it is only through forgiveness that we can be truly free. Free to move forward, unchained from our past. Forgiveness is a gift to us, but it is a gift we must be equally willing to give to others. Christ forgave us. His love for us is unconditional. And Lamentations 3:22 tells us, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. But his forgiveness is conditional. Matthew 6:14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. See, his love is unconditional, but his forgiveness is conditional. How many people do you see, they don't want to forgive people? And I always tell them, do you want your Father to forgive you? Well, he doesn't expect me to forgive this person. Yes, he does. Nowhere in his word does it say there's anything that anybody can do against you that you should not forgive them for. Nowhere. There are no exceptions to this rule. We can say that the offense that we feel in our heart is too great for us to forgive and let go of. But if we do not forgive, we will be tortured by that misdeed for the rest of our lives. The person that wounded us continues to cause us pain each time we remember it, doesn't it? The person that wounded us continues to cause us pain each time we remember it until we release that person to God and forgive. They could be dead, and you're still holding unforgiveness toward them. You need to sit down and just go before the Father and say, Father, I just forgive this person. I remember when we first started, I remember one pastor said it. He would have the people set a chair in front of them, and they would sit in a chair facing that chair. Then they would talk to that person and tell that person they forgive them of everything they've ever done to them. And then really forgave them and then went on with their life. The person, where am I at? This is what Christ did for us, and this is what he expects of us. And Matthew 6:14 says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He expects the same from us. As Christ hung on the cross, he knew he was being brutally murdered by hatred. It was hate that did that. The hatred his murderers felt toward him was indeed a great offense. They not only killed him, but while he was hanging on the cross, beaten and humiliated, they continued to mock and insult him. In Matthew 27:39, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, you who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Jesus was innocent, and they were guilty. Jesus was dying for them, and they mocked him. Yet enduring their torture, Jesus reached down into the reservoir of his strength, he was dying, and labored in his weakened condition to speak in their defense. And this is what he said in Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. We need to remember that phrase, and whenever we say it, we need to say it the way Jesus said it. Not just saying it, just to be saying it, but really from the very depth of his soul. He was asking God to forgive them, for they did not know what they were doing. Their offense was great, but his forgiveness was greater. And he expects nothing less from us. He knew that the people who were hurting him were not his enemies. He saw them as innocent victims. See, this is the way we need to look at people. We preach it, but we don't really do it. Jesus saw them as innocent victims who had been manipulated and used by his enemy, Satan. Remember, what does the word say? We are not warring against flesh and blood, right? We need to see that behind every offense is our adversary, the devil. In 1 Peter 5:8, he is seeking whom he may devour. His target is not the person who offended you, but his target is actually you. His plan is to get you to hold on to the offense and open the doors of unforgiveness. And how long did God spoke about offense to this church? For over a year, to get people out of offense. When he does this, he can bring in a multitude of when Satan does this, he can bring in a multitude of tortures to torture us with our past. Our past is allowed to take hold of our present, and the sinful behavior that we have been forgiven of and delivered from suddenly returns and tries to take root in our hearts. That does happen, and if you're honest with yourself, you can say, yes, you know it is true. Something you have forgiven somebody for, next thing you know, you're remembering. Why am I remembering that? That's the enemy. He's trying to go back to your past and trying to get you messed up all over again. You have to tell the enemy to leave. I already forgive that person. That's not part of my life anymore, and you're not going to come and torment me with that. The Bible in Matthew 18:26 tells the story of a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. He realized that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents, so he had the man brought to him. He ordered that the man and his entire household should be sold to make payment for the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. As soon as the servant left his master, he found a man who owed him money and demanded payment of the debt. When the man could not pay and asked for mercy, the servant had him thrown into prison until the debt could be paid in full. Seeing the entire situation played out before them, the other servants in the household went to the king and told him what their fellow servant had done. And in Matthew 18:32 it said, "Then the master called the servant in. He said, 'You wicked servant, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant?' In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed." And see, the king had canceled his debt. But because of what he did to somebody else, now he's put him in prison and his debt was there again. I believe if the body of Christ would get this forgiveness in their spirit tonight, we could have revival tomorrow. I really do. I believe if we get out of our stupidity and we start walking in Christ's likeness, and we would truly forgive those who have offended us, that we would be a bright light in a dark, dark place, and God could trust us and he could send his glory to us and move us forward. But as long as you keep holding on to unforgiveness, God can't put his glory in you because your vessel is not clean and pure. All right? Free from offense. When we choose not to forgive our brother, we open the door for our past to come back on us and torture us. There is a very painful side to unforgiveness that Satan does not like us to discuss. He wants to make you feel as though you will lose something by forgiving. Number one, but really you have everything to gain and very little to lose. Number two, you gain peace and joy. You lose the constant torture of remembering the offense. Number three, you gain the love and acceptance of your Heavenly Father. Number four, you lose the chains of the fear of the incident reoccurring again. Number five, and you lose the agonizing entitlement of living in the cozy little jail cell of your past. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose by forgiving and forgetting. Sometimes if you're ready to look at the picture truthfully, with truth, you'll find out it wasn't all the other person doing the wrong, that a lot of it was you. And the enemy's working through you, making you believe and see something that really does not exist. So he's using you to torture the other person. So you're holding unforgiveness against the other person when in fact it's you that's messed up. I see that all the time. The enemy gets into your mind and into your soul and he just wreaks havoc, making you believe the picture that he's painting and not the truth. All right, suddenly you are free to move on when you forgive. You only need to look back now to see how far you have come from the old you who kept every offense locked away in the treasure chest of your mind. The old you would pull out at Satan's request the woundings from your past, only to let them wound you again and again as you toss them around in your mind. That's the old you. All right? The new you doesn't do that. So you're sitting here tonight, you know if you're old or new. You know what you do, right? Never forget, you are a child of the King. Your Heavenly Father rules the world and you are his heir. See, we forget that. We really do. We forget we were the king's kids. I used to go around saying all the time, everybody said, we should shut up. And, you know, I quit. Then after a bit, I didn't really think about it. I was a king's kid. And after a bit, I started not thinking quite right. And I started thinking to myself, well, I'll say to myself, I'm the king's kid, and I get everything I want. You know, my father loves me, and he just pours all the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob out upon me. And I started getting blessed, and I was cursing my own self by being afraid to say I was a king's kid. That the old devil doesn't want to hear that, you know, because he can never be one of the king's children. I really want you guys to really get a hold of this forgiveness tonight, because I know that I know that I know that God wants us, if we can just learn to forgive tonight, that he's ready to pour out his blessing upon each and every one of us. I know that. All right, I said, never forget you are a child of the king. Your heavenly father rules the world, and you are his heir. Your life belongs to him, including the painful events of your past. Your life belongs to him, including the painful events of your past. He cares about you very much. He has provided a way out of the pain. You have only to open the locks and remove the chains. You have only to forgive. Now, this is not as simple as I'm saying it. We all know that. But this is what we have to do, simple or not. What did he say? What was it Paul said? What does it matter? Yeah. You know, what if somebody did hurt you? That day is over with, isn't it? So, what does it matter? What difference does it make? It's done, it's over with. So, what if somebody talked about you? How are you going to change that? You can't take the words out of the air, right? So, what are you worried about? You really always have to think that way. I'm telling you, do, or you're going to go under. God wants you to be free from the offense, free to move on and fulfill your destiny in him. As you move closer to fulfilling the call God has in your life, Satan will try to bring about circumstances that lead to unforgiveness, doesn't he? As you move closer to fulfilling the call God has on your life, Satan will try to bring about circumstances that lead to unforgiveness. Disappoint him and forgive. Satan does not want you to fulfill your destiny, and he knows if he can get you into unforgiveness, you won't. You know, we've been dealing with somebody for years now, I mean years now, whose wife, you know, they're very happy, and his wife met somebody else and left him. Took everything. To this day, they cannot forgive that person. I know it's been over 12 years. And it's hindering them. It's holding them back from the things that God would have them to do. Why go there? All right, so my first husband, when he left me, he took all of our money. Took everything. Took it to Pennsylvania and hid it where my lawyer couldn't get a hold of it. Then he wanted to steal the house. And the only way I could keep the house if I signed a letter saying I wouldn't touch his retirement from the Air Force. All right. So that's what I did. Because I wanted to keep my house. That was my house. So he was at my house a week ago. He comes and goes, you know, see his kids. But he was here the other day. And he said, so Larry didn't leave you anything? I said, no, he just didn't fill out the necessary paperwork. And he said something. I said, you know what? You took everything too. But I'm still smiling and I'm still happy and God still keep me. So if God can keep me all these years, he can keep me again. And he's just got looked at me and got real quiet. I said, and he said, you're not upset with me about that? I said, no. It was just money, right? Wasn't worth my salvation. Was not worth my salvation. He said, well, I still can't believe I had to pay for your part of the divorce. See, so he was holding the fence over that. You know, but I'm not holding a fence over nothing. See what I'm saying? You know, you have to forgive and forget and move on. Just, I wish the other person had, you know, lost everything, but would move on. And they're not happy, but you could be so much happier if you just move on. Get over it and move on. What does this say here? Build a bridge. Get over it and move on. All right, the very person who has offended you might be the one that God wants to use to release you into your destiny. Come on. Offense is a test of graduation. Forgiveness gives you an A+. Unforgiveness leaves you with a failing grade, and you will repeat the course again and again until you have passed. What does God say? You can go around that mountain as often as you want. I'll be here when you're ready to get a, quit going around the mountain. See that? I hope some of you are getting a hold of this tonight. A thorough cleaning, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. See that? Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Often those closest to us will be the ones Satan uses to hurt us the most. It's easy to forgive the checkout lady at the grocery store who does not show us a proper respect. We say, oh, well, they must be having a bad day, right? However, when those we love betray our trust, it is a much deeper wound, and we need to be aggressive in our ongoing love for them. And a love for them will keep us from retaliation. And 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And when I was going through my season of unforgiveness, I don't know if it was unforgiveness or just, I don't know what it was. But anyhow, poor Sister Nancy Willis had to be the one to hear all that. One day I was okay with it. Next day I wasn't okay with it. You know? One day I called and said, well, I need prayer today because it's really bombarding me. And next day, I'm fine, I'm fine. And next, I'm not so fine today. Because what happens is when you're going through that, the enemy will one day make you think of how wonderful the person is. Then the next day, look what they did to you. Look how they wronged you. And, you know, and you're going back and forth like a ping pong ball. But you have to keep being steadfast and you have to keep moving on. You have to keep moving forward. And you have to be strong in your conviction that you are going to forgive. You are going to forgive. Amen. It took a while, but I finally got through it. Even though I thought I was never going to get through it. Even though I thought I was losing my salvation through it all. You know, God said, keep on moving, but keep loving. Keep loving. And I had to read the scripture what love does. And some days I wasn't love. I'm being honest. While I was working through this, I was not love. And I had to keep working and keep working until I got through it. Like I say sometimes, and I'm not a person who holds anything against anybody, but this really hit me really hard, what this person did. And I really had to work through that. But like I say, sometimes it's not easy. But you can do it. But you have to determine you're going to do it. Not up here, but in your heart, you have to determine, I'm going to get over this. I don't care if it kills me. I'm going to get over this thing. Amen. All right, an aggressive defense. The enemy will seek to use our mouths to accuse the ones we love. We can stand in aggressive judgment toward them with our finger wagging in their face and Satan's words of condemnation flying out of our mouths, or we can be used by God to aggressively defend those who have wronged us, make excuses for them. That's what I call it. Satan cannot condemn them if we, as the people they have offended, will stand in their defense. And really and truly, that's going on in my house right now. And I defend the person over and over and over again because I keep telling them, you're giving the enemy weapons to keep destroying this person. This person can't get up as long as you keep coming against them like that, as long as you keep talking about them. You're going to have to quit. You're going to have to love them. You're going to show compassion and grace. If that's why they're doing what they're doing, you're just giving the enemy all kind of ammunition to continue to destroy this person. Are you understanding this? It doesn't, look what we did to Jesus. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Come on. Do you have a ministry or do you not? Do you have a ministry of reconciliation? If you don't have that, you don't have a ministry. If you're always offended by somebody, then you really need to get before the Father until that thing's over with. That person I was having a problem with, I didn't even want to look at him. I didn't want to hear their voice or nothing. That's how bad it was with me. But finally, God brought me through it. And I was able to go ahead and rejoice in him once again. When Aaron and Miriam spoke against their brother Moses in Numbers 12 for having a Cushite woman, the anger of the Lord burned against them. Miriam was struck with leprosy, but Moses interceded for her. So Moses cried out to the Lord, O God, please heal her. You find that in Numbers 12:13. Now, Moses was not the one who sinned, but he is the one who cried out for God's forgiveness for his sister. See this? He had the authority to intercede for her because he chose to forgive her. And I'm interceding for this person in my hand, my house, because I chose to forgive them. But I said, yeah, they, please quit stealing my money. But still, no, I every time that happens, I forgive them. And I tell God, please get them delivered from this mess that they're in. Amen. Come on. If we love, we will not let Satan use us to condemn and accuse. We can be used by God to cover their sins. What doesn't the word say, love covers a multitude of sins? And really, every time I used to be, when I would start talking to somebody about somebody else, that would come to me. I'm not walking love because I'm not covering their sin. I'm exposing their sin. Are you listening here? Love covers a multitude of sin, and we're not going to go around talking about somebody's sin that they're doing. Oh, my. Everybody got an F on that one, didn't we? We're going to back and retake that test. All right. If we love, we will not let Satan use us to condemn and accuse. We can be used by God to cover their sins. Next time, it might be our turn to be forgiven. And they may be used by God to defend us. Are you seeing this? It is not always easy to forgive, but it is necessary. So I was telling you, it was necessary that I forgave this person. It is what Jesus is asking from us. Remember when I said, God told me, be careful, daughter, lest when you preach to others, you yourself fall. Well, when I got into this mess, I thought, is this what you're talking about, Father? It could be one of those things he's talking about. I don't think it's just one thing. I think that I have to watch each and every step that I take to make sure I'm doing the things the way I should be doing them so I continue on my walk with God. All right? God expects us to do as he himself did. And yet, while they were killing Jesus, he was interceding for their pardon. Remember, forgiveness is a way of life and the gate to your heart. God said, tell them that forgiveness is a way of life. And I know that this church does not walk in that way of life. I know that we do not walk in it 100%, and that's why God has told me to give this tonight. And I just thought whenever Charisma sent this little thing out here that went so well with, well, God gave me forgiveness afterwards. I heard this. I said, okay, all right, so I've heard that, and I'm going to play that, but I'm sitting here, and I don't have a message. So this is what he spoke about, forgiveness, and I listened to the video again, and I said, God, this all just correlates, just goes right together. God knows exactly what he's doing at all times. And he's not fragmented. God is not fragmented. The devil is. He's been trying to lead us down a path of total righteousness. And total forgiveness is one of those things that we need to walk in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is what we need to be pure and holy as Jesus is pure and holy. Now, I never thought in my lifetime I'd ever get into the state that I was in a couple months ago because I'm not that type of person. But, you know, sometimes God has to allow us to go through something to show us, just like he said, to show us that we're not where we should be. And he allowed me to go through that so Satan can't trip me up later on. So whatever God has shown you about your life or whatever, God doesn't even have to, come on, let's be honest. He doesn't even have to show you. You already know there's areas in your life that are not right, and you need to be working them out before the Father. Don't wait and say, well, God never showed me that before. I know when I'm wrong. I know when I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing or thinking something I shouldn't be thinking. And I don't need you to come and prophesy over me or hit me over the head with the Bible. I mean, I know it. And so whose job is it to get me right? Me. I'm the one that has to go before the Father. I'm the one that has to confess my faults. I'm the one that has to repent if I'm going to continue to walk with the Father. Some of you in or not, you have to come to get grips with reality that you're not always right, that you don't always walk in the truth of the Word, that you have your flaws too. It's not always everybody around about you that has a flaw. And if you think you are that type of person, Father God, right now I just hope that you take them back to their past and let them see the mistakes they've made. I told God one, the reason why I said this, because I told God one time, I said, God, I want you to take me back to my past. And I want you to let me see everything that I did wrong where you came in and you freed me and you brought me forth, where you showed me grace. And he did. And lo and behold, was I ever shocked. You know, you just don't understand how many times you were missing the mark, but God in his grace brought you through it. And each thing he showed me, I just cried and repented. I said, God, I just didn't even realize I was doing wrong at that point. And I'm not talking about deep, gross sins. I'm talking about maybe talking about somebody, things like that. But sin is sin. I didn't smoke. I didn't drink. I didn't whore. You know, I didn't do all that kind of stuff. But I said, God, there has to be something that I did wrong. And I'd like to know what it was. And I said, take me back and just show me where your grace was sufficient. I'm just like that. You know, I just like to know all things. And when he was all finished showing me all that stuff, I said, wow, I'm not who I thought I was. But see, when God, he showed me his grace all through those years and God forgave me, then he threw that sin in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again, right? And so I didn't remember it. Just went on my merry old way. Slap happy, you know, and at peace with myself and God, and just being a love vessel that he could work through. I even said to him, I said, God, my love couldn't have been that perfect. He said, it wasn't. Then he showed me different times when I didn't walk in love. And to the world, it would have been all right, but to God, it wasn't. It's never all right when you don't walk in a love walk, you know, because God calls us to walk in love. So don't even make excuses. Well, they really did a bad thing. Well, you know, we did a bad thing to Jesus. Are you ready to walk in forgiveness? Forgiveness is total love, you know. Total, complete love. And, you know, sometimes God will show me something about my staff and where they're going to come against me. And I sit and I cry, you know, because I don't expect that. But what did he say? What does it matter? And he shows me how it's all going to pan out, how it's going to start, and how it's going to, you know, he walks me right on through it. And I know it's all going to turn out all right. But when he first tells it to me, I sort of go, oh, no, you know, because after all, I'm not Jesus. I'm still flesh and blood, and I don't expect some things. Some of you sitting here, you don't expect some people to come against you, do you? But they will. Why will they? Because Satan tries to use them to take you out of God's will. That's why it happens. The person doesn't even want to do it, doesn't even know they're doing it, maybe. But Satan's using them in a roundabout way, trying to get you to walk in offense and unforgiveness and unloving and take you out of the picture. Now, are you going to allow that to happen? Are you going to, you know, somebody came through town and they came to visit me and I didn't know they were there. And, you know, I haven't been feeling good and they called on the cell phone and didn't know the phone was ringing because I was in a room where a phone wasn't. And finally I realized they were in my front yard and I brought them in and that offended them. I tried to call you on my cell phone. I said, well, I'm sorry I didn't hear it. But anyhow, they sat for an hour or so and talked with me. They left. I haven't heard from them since. And God told me, he said, because they don't think you're godly anymore. And, you know, I was really hurting that day. My leg and everything else is bothering me. And I thought, you know, I still love them because they're precious people to me. And I'll call and talk to them when I have a chance real soon and explain things to them. And everything will be fine. But in the meantime, they think I've lost my salvation. See, this is what people do to you. This is just what people do to you. So, are you going to walk in forgiveness? Because God let me hear some of the conversations. He said, I just want you to know where they're at right now. So, if forgiveness is a way of life, it's a gate to your heart. I'm working too hard to keep myself together so I can go to heaven. You know, I'm not going to let a visitor take that away, right? You hear what I'm saying? So tonight I want you to really and truly think really hard about your forgiveness. Is it a way of life? Do you just automatically forgive people? Excuse me, I got to tell you this too. God will show me something that's going to happen that's bad. So I'm already prepared for it when it comes my way. And I've already forgiven him before it ever happens. Because God showed me the whole thing, you know. And I'm not caught off guard. That's why we need to hear God's voice. That's why we need to know what's going on before it ever happens. So we can get ourselves all geared up. Okay, devil, I'm not going to allow you to do this. I'm already going to forgive them before they even do the act. All right? Come on. That one time when somebody stole money from me just recently, it was the second time around, and so I was going to have him arrested, and God said, don't you dare. Don't you dare. I will supply. I will take care. That person cannot stand to be in jail. So I didn't, and I got a lot of flack from it, but God told me why I shouldn't do it. Then after he told me why, I didn't want to do it anyhow. You know, I was just a little bit upset, just a little tiny bit upset. Because it happened, it was a whole bunch upset. And so what was I working out of? Emotion. I wasn't working out of wisdom, but it was emotion. So I know none of you do that in here. I know you all work out of wisdom. And I know you think everything through before you do everything. But I'm letting you know that God doesn't like emotion. He wants you to walk in love, forgiveness, long-suffering, grace, whatever else. Fortitude, I'm hearing him say. And we have to get through this. Father, I just thank you. I just thank you, Father God, for your word about forgiveness and even your son who talked about what does it matter. And son, Father, I know that when your son said that Paul wasn't chained to the prisoners, but they were chained to him, I got such a revelation out of that. And so, Father God, I myself ask you to forgive me for being upset when people come and hurt me, not understanding that you were using them to bring me closer to the cross, then using me to set them free. And Father, as each one of your children are here tonight, and they're thinking about the things that you said and what they heard, and they're making decisions in their heart right now to truly walk in a forgiving life and to quit being offended by everything that comes down the road. I'm asking, Father God, I just hear you say you're taking your finger and you're touching them with a special anointing oil that they will be able to forgive and forget and to move on past the offense. Some of you should feel the finger of God touching you right on your forehead right now. He's bringing that oil of forgiveness and he's anointing you to be able to forgive just as his son Jesus did on the cross. And he's also telling me that from now on you won't stand afar off because you're learning what it is to truly forgive and to forget. And you'll be able to move closer into his heart, into his kingdom. And you will become one with him. God is saying, children, I am bestowing all my riches upon you this night. And I am expecting you to walk out this message tonight for the rest of your life. Never giving into the trials and the tribulations that so abound around about you. And my children, I want you to take your hand into my hand tonight. And I want you to walk securely with me, knowing that I, the Lord thy God, I will reveal to you what the enemy is up to before it ever happens. And I will set you free from all captivity that the enemy tries to place around about you. You are my beloved children, and I do love you. You must quit looking at the seen world and look into the unseen world, the world that I see. You must see through my eyes, and you must see what's truly going on around about you. To do that, you have to walk in perfect love and perfect forgiveness, and you cannot back up. You cannot ever back up ever again. You must forgive and move on. You must always understand that yesterday is gone. gone forever, never to be resurrected ever again. But the life that lies before you is rich and is bountiful. It's full of my love, my mercy, my giftings. And this is what you're striving for. What lies before you, not what you left behind. Take up your cross every day and follow me. No matter what that cross bears, follow me and do the things I'm calling you forth to do. No more backsliding into negativity, but stay firm in your convictions, always knowing that I, the Lord thy God, I am with you. No matter where you're at, I am with you. No matter what the circumstance, I am with you. Real soon, you won't have any time to think about anything, because when I drop my glory, you'll be so busy, you won't have any time to think of anything. So why not start right now? Why not just start clearing your mind right now and let your mind be free to hear what thus saith your Father in heaven? The old is stale and it stinks. It's rotted in different areas. But what stands before you is brand new, brand spanking new, fresh, new oil, beautiful fragrance, beautiful perfume. The flower fields are in full bloom. And you will walk in the fields of flowers, and you will be refreshed day in and day out. So take my hand and rejoice in me, and know that you are my beloved, and that I am your Father. I have come this night to rejoice with you in your newfound freedom, freedom from unforgiveness and offense, bitterness, hatred, your newfound freedom of walking in the Spirit, always rejoicing in who you are in me and who I am in you. Take a stand for righteousness right now. I give you a second. Take a stand for righteousness right now. Then don't move out of that stand, but stand firmly and securely in me, knowing that I am with you always until the end of the days. I am that I am, and I am not a fleeting moment, but I am a secure thing in your life. And we are locked together in love, and we will abide together in love